Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Hey folks, it's me, Steven, and as I announced in many of the previous episodes, well, I'm currently on vacation, and I'm not going to be back until July. But don't go anywhere, because you're still going to get an episode of this podcast. It just won't be hosted by me. Instead, it's going to be hosted by a truly amazing individual, or a group of truly amazing individuals. Just, you know, don't go falling in love with them and leave me, okay? Anyway, see y'all in July.
For that, but I think you'll find this a bit more interesting.
Overly dramatic speeches about. Oh, it's recording. Hi.
Okay. It's working now.
I need to. Okay. Welcome.
We can edit. We can edit. I just wanted
are
to.
Are we
make,
editing? We should make Steven edit.
I just wanted to try it again to make sure I was doing it right, because I stopped it and nothing happened, but now it is actually working.
The views and opinions of Yanni and myself are not necessarily reflected by Steven or would you steal something from a store? No, pirating is a crime. There.
You wouldn't steal a handbag.
I think we did all the things that happened before it starts, right?
Yeah.
We're just missing the previews. Coming soon to a podcast near you.
In a world.
Welcome to Steven or Else podcast.
Wait, are you sure it's Steven or Else? It's not like Event or Else or...
Oh. Is it Event or Else?
Is this just another fanboy?
I don't know. I cannot keep track.
Just another Event or Else.
Yes. Superman show event.
Yes.
Another Superman show or event or else. Welcome. Welcome to Transformers or Else.
Yes.
It's the new...
We've taken over.
The new podcast. No, no, we haven't taken over. We're just like another branch of this empire Steven's slowly creating.
We're going to get a new feed? That's great.
I think we could do an entire, like, 2-year podcast just talk about Transformers.
And don't threaten me.
Yeah. Oh, we should probably say what's going on. Hi, I am Harold Jeanette, and this is Mike. You guys say your last name because I don't want to say
name?
It still.
Wow. My name is Michael Yanilovich, and I am a fellow comic and Transformers fan.
Tell the story about when you're in school.
Oh, you mean it would always be Michael, and then a long pause, and everyone else had already been called, so I knew it was me. And you just try to raise your hand to intercept it before they mess it up. But they always try. They always try to guess.
Yeah.
When me and Catherine got married, he said it right the first time.
See, the official?
Yeah, the priest. As he was announcing, like, in Mr. and Mrs., and he totally donked it. And, like, you got, like, half of the place just, like, cracking up because he said it the way they always, and people always mess it up.
I keep missing the L. I say Yanovich. It's Yanilanovich?
Yanilovich.
Yanilovich. That's really not that hard when you say it.
Well, I've been saying it a long time.
That's true. That's fair. I mean, people ask me, is it Jeanette or Jeanette? I'm like, what? Yes.
You're like, was there a difference?
There usually is. For some reason, my brain will not comprehend that there is a difference.
It's like Janet or Jeanette.
I'm like, I don't care. Just don't call me Hal. Call me Harold. Everyone at my job's calling me Hal.
How did that start?
Because Hal is a nickname for Harold, and the boss started it. So I'm not going to argue. Okay, plus, if you correct them, they'll just call you Whitmore.
Bullying. Oh my goodness! As soon as someone, like, we were talking about nicknames at work once, and I mentioned, like, oh yeah, through high school, I was mostly known as Yanni, and then it's like, well, I've uncorked this now, so
yeah,
now half the people in this building call me that.
Yep. Should we see if this is working, the recording part, or should just all we right. go with it?
I mean, it says it's recording.
Okay. It's the girl whose boyfriend cheats on her and abuses her, and he says he loves me.
Wow, I thought this was a family show.
Sorry. This was a special episode of now for a very special episode of Just Another Fanboy.
Yes.
Yanni, we need to talk about your Transformers addiction.
I knew this was coming.
Yeah. Well, we love you and we care about you, and you can't buy every Transformer. I mean, you're buying third party, you're buying first party, you're buying imports. You're buying Happy Meal Transformers at this point.
Whoa. I will not lower myself.
Yes, you will.
To Happy Meal Transformer.
If you go to a yard sale and you see them for like 50 cents, you would buy them. Tell me I'm wrong.
You're wrong, because I already have them. Because my dad saved all those McDonald's toys when I was a kid.
Fair enough. I went on. Me and my wife went on our yard sale trip, and I naively was hoping I would find some Transformers. Only thing I found was like a crappy Transformers movie bag. That was it. I thought I was close. I did see a robot leg poking out of one of those like Tupperware bins that'll say like toys 50 cents each, and I thought I found one, but it was like a Fox Sports like robot from like between the games. They had that like robot that'll throw the football.
There's like a figure of him.
There was a figure of him. I know, now you're making me feel like I should have bought him.
Is it weird that I kind of love football robots?
That's the only thing about football I love.
Exactly. I feel the same way.
Okay, let me double check that we're not missing anything. So Steven gave us a checklist.
Oh, okay.
This is behind the curtain, inside baseball. Sports reference in less than 5 minutes.
Which is very odd coming from us.
Exactly. I worked at a place where we did sports t-shirts for like 15 years, and somehow I got through it because I'm not into sports at all.
I mean, did you learn anything through osmosis?
I learned stuff. I still didn't like it. I tried to. I couldn't do it. I just couldn't get into it.
You could have created the app that they use in the IT crowd to help people talk. Like, you can translate.
Oh, look, he kicked the ball that way now. He did a thing.
Great. Oh, now the other guys kicked the ball. Even better.
Okay, I'm just reading what Steven told us to do. We're being so professional right now. I think we've covered everything.
Frank's
episode. Oh, the only thing we're missing is I didn't interrupt you. I always interrupt Steven when he like introduces the show, and I didn't get to do that to you.
Well, can you introduce the show?
It's true.
I didn't know I was supposed to.
We'll do it next time.
Oh, okay.
So, we're going to talk about Transformers, y'all, because Mr. Yanni here is responsible for me to getting back into this addictive black hole of a hobby.
Tell me about it.
I will. I will tell you about it right now. Well, that's what I thought. Are we going to talk about how we got into it first?
Yeah. I think it's a good starting point.
Who should go first?
Well, you are the elder statesman, so in
theory... Well, I was probably around when they showed up, and you not have been.
I was born, but I probably didn't... I don't think I got any toys till 88.
Okay, yeah, I win. All right. So I think I was at a KB Toy. KB time, Toys?
Time immemorial. You were there at KB
Toys. I was. And it wasn't a Transformer. I think it was a Super GoBot. It might have been like something that wasn't even either of those. So GoBots were made before Transformers, so y'all know. And I just fell in love with it the moment I saw it, and I didn't have any money, so I didn't get it. But then on the TV, I saw one of Marvel's commercials for the Transformers comic book.
I'm sorry. Hold on one moment. It was a commercial?
Oh, yeah. They had TV commercials for it.
That boggles my mind.
Yeah, it's a big deal. They had, and it was in the commercial for the comic book, I believe, was before the toys. I'm not going to waste everyone's precious time looking it up while we talk, because that will be dead air. But
that's so crazy to think that there was like a commercial for comic books.
Same
like
with the G.I. 80s. Joe.
Man.
Well, no, they had like the toy money coming in for that.
Yeah, I guess. It's still so weird. That's more marketing for comics than like Marvel has done any of their movies.
Yes. Yes. So, my dad used to bring comic books home like once in a while. And I was into like the Justice League, like satellite era comics. So I was like, I could read some Transformers comics. I can't buy the toys yet. I can at least read the comics. So we would go to Troy Stamps and Coins, which was the nearby place that had the comic books. And I just kept going there every week, and they didn't have the first issue of Transformers. They did have the first issue of Gru the Wanderer, which looked hilarious, and that's what got me into collecting comics myself. So Transformers is technically what got me collecting comics. That's a whole other story. Wow. But finally, on the comic rack, there was issue number 2, which broke my heart. So I missed one. But I collected 2, and I kept collecting them until I don't know when, for years. But I finally found in the back issue bin issue number 1. So that's how I got into the comic books. And then I very quickly got the toys, because one day I was at Myers, which is a store, I don't know, I guess more towards the west or part of this great country of ours. And there was a Megatron. And It was a gun that turned into a robot, and I love guns, and I love robots, and I love these Transformer things I had not bought any of yet. And I begged my parents so hard for this thing. I'm like, I will do chores all summer. I will mow the lawn. I will not ask for any more toys. And I broke them down, and I got my first Transformer, and he was amazing.
Man, Megatron is an all-time classic.
Yes, he was. I mean, looking back, it's hard. They haven't aged incredibly well. Like, you look back on it, and like, he's a little weird. He's a little weird. And like, didn't look anything like the cartoon, because none of the cartoons looked quite.
Yeah. None of the figures look like G1 is. It's all in the imagination.
Wayani, what is G1?
Well, G1 is the first generation of Transformers, which consists of kind of the early, the first run of the first 3 seasons of the American Cartoon Show, as well as the toys that would have been produced during that era.
Wow, that's like you wrote it down ahead of time, but you didn't.
Just, I don't know. I just look around and stare at a lot of Transformers, and it just, you know, gives me
points.
It gives me thoughts.
And then I got Huffer like 2 weeks later after I promised all that. We're going on vacation. I'm like, can I get a toy for vacation? So I got Huffer, and my dad's like, why did he get a toy? You said, I mean, he probably didn't scream like that, but he was a little upset that my mom broke down. And I think I got Prowl the day the summer was over. So it was Megatron, Huffer, and Prowl were my first 3 Transformers. Cool. And then ever since I bought them and bought them, I think I stopped maybe in the middle of like right after college. Which was like early 90s. And I think Transformers switched over to like another, like to G2 or whatever they did.
Early 90s, I believe, was G2. And then the late 90s was the start of Beast Wars.
Yeah, it got weird at the end of G1, but that's a whole other story.
Certainly did.
It's yeah, I got it. The weirdest I think it got were the Pretenders, where there was a shell of a human being. And inside of that shell was a Transformer that was not great.
I mean, you know my feelings on those toys.
Oh, I do.
I've come around ever so slightly just because I watched the Japanese show Master Force, which has the Pretenders in it, and they're not bad in that. So I don't. I've lightened up a little bit. I still think they're terrible toys, though.
That's fair. They are. They are. So how did you get into Transformers, sir?
As from what I can at least remember, is just watching the old show, and I'm assuming, again, I have to go off of what I can remember, because I probably got those toys when I was, I think I got them when I was, 3 or 5 years old. I got Power Master, Optimus Prime, and Brainstorm.
That was your first one, Power Master?
Yeah, those are the first two Transformers I had. I don't know if I got them one first or the other, but they were the two that I had.
I think it's poetic that your first Transformer was Optimus Prime and mine was Megatron.
We're destined to battle.
Yeah, yes. Anyway, go ahead.
But yeah, I had those two for the longest time. I never had a lot of Transformers growing up, even though I was I was just enamored by them as a kid and watched the cartoon all the time. But
so as an adult, you're making up for lost time.
Oh, yeah. I mean, as soon as I could make my own purchases and had enough money to buy stuff, I would be little things here and there. And then it would be then I worked at Walmart. Oh, and then it's right there.
So were you able to get the early figures before other people could snatch them up?
I wasn't that crazy because I was pretty much, but that's when I had been at my Walmart job for a couple weeks. I worked in the tire section, and I walked through there, and that was the Masterpiece Optimus Prime, the MP01. And it was what is this?
No, that's the really expensive, much more articulate diecast metal involved toy, correct?
Yes, he was kind of the first release of it was the first Masterpiece, and it was just number one, there hadn't been a new Optimus Prime toy in a long time, and then they made this thing. It's huge. It's 12 inches tall. It's huge. And then it's as far as looking at it, it looks as nice of an Optimus Prime as it has ever existed, certainly at that time.
So your face was the guy opened the Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Oh, thing, yeah.
In the movie.
You're just walking through the aisle. Do-do-do-do-do. What is this? And then you're just oh, this really wrecked my day because this is very expensive. And I think I waited till I got my first or second paycheck working there, and then bought him. And it was very exciting at the time. I mean, it's... For me, he was such a big deal just so, because he had the Matrix in his chest, fully articulated fingers. I mean, he could thumbs up. He's the first Transformer. Fingers. He's the first Transformer that could give a thumbs up. That's kind of crazy to me.
That's a big milestone. Did he have ankle tilt?
I'm honestly not sure. His legs are strange. And at the time, he seemed so complicated, and I loved all the complicated transformations.
Yeah, except for the ones that make you feel like you're going to break it if you just do one thing wrong.
Oh, no. Now he seems basic now.
Yeah.
The engineering has come so far since those days where now he's a normally engineered figure, but it was kind of well, I got this. What more would I ever need?
Well, I know what we talked about the comic book and the cartoon, but now you've got me wanting to talk about this quick. The engineering on these toys. So I had stopped collecting for a while, and I made the stupid huge mistake of selling almost my entire collection because I found a site that bought them legitimately, and I think I got was it almost $3,000 for all of them? It was Yeah. And I was stupid.
Oh, I'm sorry. Holy shit.
Yeah, okay. Anyway, well, you didn't hear that. He meant that's the Norwegian word for flowers. Yes. Yeah. So what was I saying? Oh, I sold all my Transformers. So you were still super into it, and I don't know. Oh, so I was reading and we'll get into this later. There's a really good comic book about the Transformers that I started reading. And it got me to start looking at the toys to see if there were any based on this new comic. And I had no idea how far the engineering had come since I used to collect them. Like, there used to be these Transformers that were only robots. They would not transform at the that was the expense of them being so articulate. Like, they were super articulate and nice looking, but they couldn't transform. I thought these were those, because I like their ankles could tilt, thus the thing I mentioned before. Like, they had swivels on their bicep. Like, they could really pose in nice poses. Nothing like the old ones where they literally were like, maybe the arms would move up and down. The legs would be like stiff and straight, and maybe like articulation was not a big thing in the old days. So when I saw that, it was, again, it was like opening the Ark of the Covenant. I was just blown away. I started texting you. I'm like, hey, you're into Transformers, right? And that got me back into it again.
Because, like, I kind of, I don't know, like, I stayed kind of, like, vaguely interested. I would kind of peek in to grab an Optimus Prime every now and again if there was a cool-looking one.
And just so everyone understands, you have, like, the biggest Optimus Prime collection I've ever seen. It's ridiculous.
I mean, they're plenty larger. I mean, what is it? There's a... I can't even think of the YouTuber. He's got some ridiculous Optimus Prime collection, but I'm...
For a non-professional Transformer person, you have a robust Optimus Prime collection.
I'm trying to collect all of the main ones, which I know is my very personal specification.
Right.
But yeah, it's a whole thing. I just love that character, and I love seeing how everything is changing over the years. I just love seeing all that.
What would you do if you met Peter Cullen in person? He's the guy that does the voice of Optimus Prime for everyone. So I got the name right, right?
Yes, yes. I would give him a handshake, and I would try to say a very quick, nice thing and then get out of there before I had an emotional breakdown.
And also not ruining his day by just
being weird. Oh, I went to talk to, I like got a issue signed by Mark Waid once and was completely unprepared for it, and just like, I needed to get out of there right away.
At least you were self-aware enough to know that you needed to do that. Some people
It was just like, oh, thank you very much, your work means a lot to me, I have to go, bye.
As opposed to, and then 5 years ago when I had this comic you made, I read this part and that was cool. And then I read this story you wrote and that was cool too. Like that for an hour.
I went to New York Comic Con a few years ago, and I, you know, did zero research in all this. And I was like, oh yeah, Claremont's going to be there. I'm like, I'm such a freaking idiot. I didn't bring anything.
Nothing. No X-Men comics.
Yeah, like I just how stupid am I? So I went there. I went through one of the back issue bins and found like a couple things that like
everyone's been there.
But just like then, like getting in line and be like, "Hello, your work means a lot to me." But yeah, I'm just bad at talking to people.
Yeah,
important people.
Yeah,
or at least people that I find important.
Okay. Go on.
That's it.
As you speak to me, like really coherently, which hurts my feelings a little bit. Anyway, so
well, you're my are friend.
We? No, it's fine. I see how you feel about me now. It's fine. I get it.
Harold Jennings.
Okay, so are we going to talk about the comics or the show? I guess the comics were first, right?
Yeah, the comics would have been first. The early
read
Marvel
the comics.
Stuff. I did not read the early Marvel comics.
Oh.
I have only been exposed to the comics through you, sir, and dang.
Yeah, but those are later ones that I needed to read. It's a crime for you not to read. Okay, that's...
They're stupid good. They're stupid good.
So, okay, we're just going to skip ahead to that really quick. James Roberts writes a Transformers comic called Robots... No, More Than Meets the Eye. I was about to lose my street cred. It's More Than Meets the Eye. I only know about it because at the time I would frequent comic book news sites. And there was a review site that just got glowing praise for this book every month. And I'm like, how good can this be? But then people started posting like images of some of the panels, like some of the best lines. And it is so funny. And it's so deep. It's emotional. The drama's like, it is no right being so good for a licensed Transformers comic.
I concur.
The closest I can come to is like, reminds me of like JLA Giffen era a little bit, but better.
It reminds me, well, like I had the same feeling reading although I'm kind of getting away from it now, but like the Power Rangers comics, and those have been way better than they have any right to be.
Really?
Yes. I think the first couple of years of all those books are like really good. Like they do a lot of great characters, like better character stuff than any of the shows of them have ever done.
As Harold slowly becomes a Power Rangers fan. Thank you, Yanni, for doing that. I don't know if that'll happen. I jokingly had my kids watch it on Netflix one time when they were very little, thinking they would like laugh at how bad it was. The episode was over. They look at me and go, "Can we watch another one?" I'm like, "Oh no."
You're just like, it's perfectly like set up for kids to like that show, man.
It's so bad. It's so bad. It's so bad. You said the Norwegian word for flower again.
Dang it. God freaking.
So anyway, so that comic book is really, really good. And when I read it, I thought of you and I'm like, there's no way Yanni can't read this. He has to. Like, I tried so hard to get you to read that. And it's a hard sell for anyone. Like, you know, because you've heard it from other people that tell you about like a licensed comic. Like, you have to read it. It's really good. Yeah, you think it's really good because you're really into it. It's probably crap. It's probably barely passable. And that's what you consider great. But it is. But I was right. Right. It's very good.
It's extremely good. I immediately had to keep reading it. And thankfully,
did you get the Humble Bundle?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I got that bundle as soon as they put it out there. It was like,
okay, I don't have to get any more for you.
No, I made a spreadsheet with the timeline to make sure I can read it in order if I want to.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, it's not my fault. They don't label that stuff very well.
Well, you're also the guy that, that took the what was the Hickman, the X-Men Hickman line, and you reordered the pages of the comic digitally.
Yes.
Chronological.
I took all of House of X, Powers of X from Hickman's run and put it in chronological order, broke it into different issues, and added title pages.
No, at first I'm reading it. I'm like, well, this is weird.
Because I'm a crazy person.
Yeah. Anyway, but like the early comics, I'm trying to think of what my memories were. I read, you know, the story of, like, I started with issue 2.
So you didn't know what was going on.
I knew enough. I think the cartoon started before I was able to get to the comics. So I kind of knew what was going on in the cartoon. Oh, the cartoon's a whole nother thing. I mean, they're a pretty similar story. But so like I read the story, you know, the Autobots have to, I think they had to clear like a meteor shower. They're going to, I forget why they went into space. The Decepticons follow them. Decepticons get on the ship and attack them, and they crash land on Earth. Millions of years later, they're woken up because the volcano erupts. And for some reason, the stupid computer Teletran 1 decides to reactivate Megatron first because it's the dumbest computer on Earth. Megatron's the bad guy leader. And then it just like, he just brings all of his Decepticons back to life with Teletran 1, and they leave the Autobots to die. But then stupid Starscream decides one last time to shoot at the arc that's crash landed, and somehow that jostles something, and then the Autobots get turned, brought to life too. And that's a very horribly quick assessment of the storyline, but that's pretty much what happens. And Megatron keeps trying to get all of Earth's resources, and Optimus Prime keeps trying to stop him because freedom is the right of all sentient beings, apparently.
That's what he says.
It is what he says. The comic book is very similar. The only thing that I can think of offhand that's different from the comic book is that Spider-Man appeared in issue 2 or 3 of the Marvel comic. And every collection since then, after they've, like, years since, I think they have to remove that issue because they technically can't show Spider-Man. So you get this weird gap.
Copyrights are so lame.
Yeah, and like there's subtle. I think the longer the comic book and the cartoon went on, the more they diversed in storyline. But they started pretty similar, I think. I mean, at one point, the Dinobots are a little different in how they showed up. I think at one point, Shockwave, he's like this laser gun Decepticon. In the cartoon, he was just Megatron's, like, he was his slave, and he just would give in every time Megatron, he was just, anything you say, Megatron. In the comic book, Shockwave just killed everyone and took over.
He's kind of scary.
Yeah. There's this great, like, iconic image comic book cover of Shockwave, but yeah, he was a big deal in the comic. So things would start to change a little bit between the two of them. But then, so you're watching the cartoon, but then, so season one and two happened. I'm currently watching season two, and oh my gosh, it's much more fun to make fun of these things when you're not a child and you just blindly accept everything.
Those shows are great to just, like,
if everyone can fly.
Superman flies all over the place.
Yeah. But then, like, the last episode of that three-parter, the Decepticons are getting away in their ship, and suddenly nobody can fly. Like, how will we stop them? Like, you guys were flying, like, two episodes ago, and you were fine. But now they can't. So then Optimus Prime borrows Sideswipe's jetpack and flies after him. But then, like, it kept changing. Like, then people could fly again. Like, at one point, the Dinobots were flying everywhere. Like,
yeah, but, like, even like Optimus Prime and the Autobots fly in, like, the first couple of episodes, but then, like, later he gets stuck in, like, a lake, and they're like, oh no, what's gonna happen? He's stuck in the lake, and, like, he can fly. We saw him fly, like, 5 seconds ago.
Top of that, they could, okay, it was like, I think it was a sinking oil tanker, because, of course, Megatron's trying to get the oil to turn into Energon cubes. That was their source of energy. But, like, they're all in the ocean, you know, not flying away, but they're also not sinking! And they're gigantic metal robots! How are they swimming?
Well, you know, they're made of transformium, which is very different from normal levels.
Wait, what was that material in the Avatar movie? Like
the unobtainium.
Yes.
There is a transformium.
Is there?
In world.
In our world?
No, in their world.
Okay. I did not know that. You have dropped knowledge on me. Well, I will... Yanni has got... He will always have more information about Transformers than me.
I mean, that's...
I accept that.
That's only because, like, I look a lot of stuff up between messages.
Yeah, that's true. Another thing. One more thing I need to say on my side of it for what I've noticed about Transformers. They keep saying what a great leader Optimus Prime is. Can I just tell you that his main task that I've noticed is he tells them when to roll out.
Yes.
It's very important. When to attack and when to roll out. That's it. Hey,
who is going to tell them to roll out?
I don't know.
Him? Exactly.
Bumblebee? Are you ever Huffer? Ratchet? Anyone?
Ever like, hey guys, roll out? No.
How hard is that? I could do that.
Apparently so hard that no one else is doing it.
Yanni, roll out.
No.
Oh, you're right. Okay, so the trick is whether people will actually do it when you say
yes.
That's his thing. Okay, fair enough. Oh my gosh, Bumblebee was so useless. Oh, and then Ratchet's usually, not Ratchet. I liked Ironhide. I didn't realize how many voices were, I did not realize until now, until like a month ago, that Ironhide and Optimus Prime were voiced by the same person.
Oh man, you got to be careful. Like, if you look at Transformers and G.I. Joe, voice cast lists, they're hilarious because everyone's doing like 10 voices.
Well, Starscream is Cobra Commander, right?
Oh well, yeah. I mean, that's an obvious one.
Why doesn't Megatron murder Starscream? Like, Starscream is literally to his face. I'm changing this.
No, it's okay.
Several times an episode. I'm going to take over. He looked to his face, says, I'm a better leader. I'm going to murder you the first chance I get. And Megatron just lets it happen. It's fine.
I mean, Starscream's so ineffectual. It's like, like, if I just keep him around and he's going to do all his dumb plans that won't work, or if I let someone else be my second command, then they're going to actually have good plans.
That's a really good point.
Yeah.
So he makes, like, Megatron look better.
Yeah, exactly. He makes, like, oh, we're never going to take out Megatron. Look at Starscream. We're screwed. That's
a legitimately good point. Yeah.
It's the thing of, like, Starscream is, like, the official second in command, but we all know it's really Soundwave.
Soundwave, yeah, I was just gonna say, Soundwave, like, is the only one that knows what they're doing, to be honest. Anything you want to talk about for the initial, I was gonna get into the movie, but Anything else you want to say about seasons? Seasons one and two happened before the movie.
Yes, and they're kind of your meat and potatoes Transformers. You know, the Decepticons are causing trouble. The Autobots fix it. Maybe they're going to introduce a new guy so you could buy the toy.
Yes, Spike almost gets them all killed.
Yeah.
Chip knows more than any of the Autobots. Chip's the smart kid in the wheelchair.
It's like Spike and Chip, they're the Wesley Crushers of Transformers.
Yes. And what was the girl's name? There was a girl that showed up. I completely had forgotten about her.
She's the one who marries Spike.
Which destroyed my heart, because as a little boy, I actually had a little bit of a crush on her. I had way too many crushes on fictional cartoons characters. Princess Allura, specifically from Voltron.
At least you have good taste.
Okay.
Hey, you know, when you're younger, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
But the, I don't know, all the human characters are just kind of...
Oh, and then that doctor with, like, the one that was helping...
Brain, Dr. Mindbent. No, wait, that's...
Showed up on... Yes! Well, no, not... Yeah, that was Dr. That's, they're interchangeable. The dude that had, like, the metal plate on his head, he showed up out of nowhere. He just started the episode helping Megatron. I'm like, did I miss an episode? Like, I literally went back to, like, the Wikipedia to look through episodes. And they're like, no, he just shows up.
It's hilarious. It's like there was so many weird, like, things in those episodes because of... Oh, well, this episode was going to be earlier, but then, like, copyright, or we had to change a bunch of weird stuff, and now it's out of order.
Yeah.
So then, like, you're going to see the Dinobots, and then, like, we're going to see the introduction of the Dinobots, like, halfway through the season.
Oh, yeah, and then the Dinobots didn't work out, so they just, like, put them in this cave and sealed it shut.
Hey, just really? In case.
And then, so we had the combiners show up. We had
your devastators.
The devastators. Yeah, they were like all the little robots that would combine. Oh my gosh. Okay, going back to the toys. When this was before the internet or like fan magazines, and I remember my friends telling me, "Hey, there's these construction robot Transformers coming out. They all turn into one big robot." And like my mind was blown. You couldn't pre-order them. I kept going to Meijer, the store, and like kept looking, and like one at a time they'd be on the shelves, and that was my holy grail as a little kid when those things came out. And then the Dinobots, everything you heard in the playground, like secondhand, you didn't get to hear any of it from like you do now.
Well, yeah, now we know so much. Now it's like we know what's coming out like months and months and months before they show up.
Yeah, before they want you to, because stuff gets leaked. So, yeah, so they had them. They had the Dinobots. Season two was especially funny because all the new toys, they just unannounced show up on the cartoon. No explanation.
Yeah.
It's just, oh, here's Warpath making explosion jokes, and here's Powerglide going to Dinobot Island. We don't know why. He's just here. The Insecticons, they're here.
Oh, and they were season two?
They were season two.
Man. But yeah,
they might have been season one.
You're like, I hope you weren't fans of any of the guys from season one, because you're here to hang out with Warpath and Beachcomber now.
Yeah. Ron was really cool, too. I liked him because he just beat the crap out of all these guys twice his size, and he was just always jumped right into a fight.
All the, I think I watched the basics on him, and like they actually read the description of like his little bio. It's kind of hilarious. They're like, he's weak, but he's strong, but he's weak.
What?
It's, I don't know, it was just some very strange thing. Like
those are always weird. And then, like, you'd have, like, this gigantic, like, combiner robot. Like, he'd have his own bio. It'd be, like, strength 4. I'm like, what? You can't do that.
Yeah. What do you mean strength 4? The other guys were all 5s.
Yeah, I don't...
The stats were always hilarious. It also seemed meaningless.
Well, I would play Transformers with my friends, and when they had like the combiner, I was so OCD about those stats. I'm like, no, you cannot beat my guy. Like Brawn, I literally would argue could beat one of the combiners because on this tech spec, he has 9 strength and the combiner has 7. And then my friend Matt, what was his last name? Anyway, I forget his last name, but he
let's dox him. Let's dox him right
let's
now.
Dox him. I actually my I'm going to get super dark for just a sec. My mother had passed away recently, and we were going through the house, going through things. And I found that my sister found this old letter that I made my friend sign saying, I will not tell Matt that Harold has a new Transformer. And I made him sign it because I wanted to surprise him, which I thought was hilarious.
Yeah. That's pretty funny.
Yeah. So Matt, that guy that I made wanted to surprise. So he would argue that the combiners, because they were larger in size, even though there was only 7 strength, still beat the little guy that was 9 strength. What say you?
It just reminds me of we had a similar thing on the playground. We would break into groups and like we would pick different like Marvel characters to be, and it would just be like, essentially for whatever reason the other person would, well, we're all the Celestials or whatever, and you're like, that's so lame. But yeah, we would.
That's a Norwegian word for rocks.
Yes, that's a Norwegian word for rocks.
They picked Celestials. You had some pretty like deep cut recess buddies, because not many people I knew even knew who the Celestials were.
It was just because all of their stats were 10, 10, 10, 10, 10.
Oh, wait.
And then I would pick like, you know, the characters I know. I'm like, okay, well, this person's Kitty Pryde, so they can phase through a Celestial and completely disrupt them or whatever. And just like trying to come up with like crazy, you know, ways to get around their garbage 10 10 10 stats.
All kids do that. Like you'll always come up with, well, it comes down to like, even if you're playing cowboys and Indians in the playground, it's like, I shot you. No, you didn't. You missed. No, I didn't. I hit you. Like, it just comes down to that, and no one ever hits anybody. But I don't know. I still think that I still stand by the fact that Braun could kick a combiner's butt if it has less stats. But that's,
hey, that's the stats. If that's what they put on the card, that's...
Grimlock had like a 9 intelligence, I think. Grimlock is the Dinobot leader who he always talk like Bizarro when he talk, and they made him sound really stupid, which makes sense for a Dinobot, but I'm going to look up his stat. But let's talk about the movie. I'm going to let you start talking about the movie, because that comes after season 2.
Yes.
The unless there's anything else you would like to talk about, sir.
No, I think that we're good to go into the movie.
Okay, I'm gonna ignore you while I look up the stats of Grimlock while you talk about the movie.
That's fine. All right, so the movie basically picks up kind of, it shoots into the future a bunch of years. It picks up in 2005, which at the time is probably like 15 years in the future, or 20 years in the future. And it's like, all they do is like, hey, the Decepticons won. The Autobots are like just hanging out on a moon. And that's all
they're on the moon?
Yeah, they're only on, like, Cybertron moons.
Forgot that, okay.
Yeah, like, the Decepticons have Cybertron. The Autobots are just hanging out in the moons, and they're barely hanging on. And they do the whole... it's like, oh, we're going to go to Earth, get our Energon reserves, and then we're going to take it to these Decepticons. But then the Decepticons intercept that. They go to Earth, completely take out everybody on Earth. They kill like all of your favorite toys.
That scene was traumatic for me.
Dude, same.
Because they didn't even okay. 2 seasons of missing them. You don't hit anybody. If you do hit them, Ratchet brings them back. It's fine. Oh, yeah. And then like in 5 seconds, like 5 dudes are just dead.
And they even comment about like, oh, it's almost too easy. It's like, yeah, you actually hit them with your lasers for once.
It was so traumatic. It was more traumatic. I'm not going to say what happens yet. It was more traumatic for me when that happened than what happens after that, which I'm sure you will get into.
The Decepticons get onto the Autobot shuttle and murder basically all of your favorite characters from the first season of Transformers.
Yeah, like Megatron turns into his gun form and Starscream just starts blasting.
Oh yeah, Ratchet gone, Ironhide gone. I'm like, not even like Ron, blam gone. Blam gone. Like you hear them get shot, you'll see like the smoke fly out of their eyes and it was relatively brutal considering they're robots, but for a child.
Yeah.
And then of course they get to Earth. They have their big battle. Optimus Prime has this like amazing like quick fight scene where he takes out like half of the Decepticons.
I forgot how good that scene was too. Oh, like in the music,
the animation is so good. They're playing their hot 80s tracks. And then you see Optimus and Megatron have their like final battle. We're like 20 minutes into the movie. Just wild.
Scene is why everyone hates Hot Rod. A lot of people hate Hot Rod because of this scene.
Yeah, so like, so now they've been showing us all the old characters, and they've also been kind of like throwing in like these new characters who are on Earth.
Ultra and, Magnus, Hot Rod, yeah. Cop.
Yeah,
well, but it's only Autobots that are new, right?
Well, we get our new Decepticons eventually.
Yeah, but I think like they only have new Autobots like before that scene. I think.
Yes. Yes.
I digress. I apologize. Continue, sir.
No, but yeah. So Megatron and Optimus Prime have their final battle. They're both completely ragged by the end of it, and Megatron shoots Optimus Prime with a gun, even though he is a gun.
Well, there's no one to catch him.
Yes, yes, there's no one to catch him.
But he would not have gotten the opportunity. Well, according to some people, so Hot Rod is this young hothead, and that's why they name Hot Rod, I guess. And he tries to intervene and save Optimus Prime and attack Megatron, but Megatron grabs Hot Rod and holds him hostage, which a lot of people will say is why Megatron was able to turn the tables on Optimus Prime. People will say Optimus Prime gave Megatron way too much time to do all this and should have just shot him the moment he had the chance.
I mean, agreed, but that's not how Optimus Prime is.
He shot every single other Decepticon like the 5 minutes before that without a word of warning.
Okay, you're bringing in a lot of good points here.
Well, okay, so maybe he had more respect because this is the leader, so I'll give you a chance or something. Or maybe they had a friendship earlier on.
But yes, we get a very sad scene where Optimus dies of his injuries. Megatron is like barely hanging on.
Children crying in the theater, like yes, literally. Yes.
Crying in the theater. And then it's like, okay, Optimus is injured. And then they're like, they make sure like, oh, he's going to die. And then we have to watch him die, turn gray.
Yes.
And everyone's crying. It's awful.
All this sad. Because, like, parents taking children out of the theater.
Yeah, this is
all like, because the toy company wanted a new line of toys. Yeah.
We got to kill the old toys so that you can buy. So you want to buy the new toys, not thinking that like, you know, people might like these guys.
Yes,
and between the music and everything else, they do a hell of a job at really, really making it gut wrenching. Which Transformers, on some level, I feel like, did not recover from. I think killing Optimus Prime was they did not know what they were doing.
Yeah, they did try to recover from that. He gives Ultra Magnus the Matrix of Leadership, and the movie goes on, and Megatron. You know this story much better than I do. I need to stop interrupting.
You're fine. We gotta speed up here. Probably.
Yeah, I guess that's what I was doing because I could talk all day about it. So Megatron and some of the other. This is up for debate of which of the Decepticons. Okay, so there's this gigantic robotic planet called Unicron, and he is like basically Galactus, but in Transformers, he eats planets.
He's very evil.
Yes, he's very evil, and he finds Starscream just throws Megatron and the other hurt Decepticons out of the ship because this is Starscream's moment to shine, and over he just throws them out. But Unicron happens to find them, and he makes Megatron basically be his Herald of Galactus and turns him into Galvatron, which is a very different looking dude with an orange blaster. Now this is the part that's up for debate is who got turned into Cyclonus and who got turned into Scourge, which were the other two guys that got turned into like new versions of themselves. Some people think like one of the Insecticons. Other people say, I think, was it Skywarp?
Yes, it's funny because the toy for Scourge, the background is the little like reformatting like grid.
Yeah,
and they show both Bombshell and like the other. They show both of them.
They don't even know.
They're like just to like hedge their bets. Like yeah, they're both there, which I think is funny.
That was funny. I don't even remember the rest of the story. All I know is that Galvatron's bad. Oh, Starscream is having a coronation to make himself the new leader. Galvatron shows up, and Starscream says, Megatron? He says, this is bad comedy, and he murders Starscream. Please correct anything I got wrong there.
No, that's pretty much correct. And like in one shot, he completely destroys Starscream. Again, one of the few remaining beloved characters left, and they just like kill him in one shot.
Yeah.
He turns gray and disintegrates.
Yes. And then so Ultra Magnus throughout this, like I forget what the fight's even over at this point.
essentially, it's, you know, we've learned about the matrix of leadership from the Autobots, and apparently it's the one thing that Unicron fears. It's the one thing that can defeat him. So he turns Megatron into Galvatron and soups up those other guys so they can go and get the Matrix, who Ultra Magnus has it currently, and they rip him apart and take the Matrix. It's really rough.
They don't kill him.
Yeah, somehow.
But Ultra Magnus is not able to get the Matrix to open. Like, he even said the word "damn it," which blew my mind. They swore a couple times in that movie.
Hey, they say the S word too.
They did.
Spike is like really early in the movie. Like, oh, shirt. What are we gonna do? Oh,
flower in Norwegian.
Yes.
Yeah, that was like,
gasp! This children's show.
So Ultra Magnus is given this Matrix he can't use.
Yes, he's not the chosen one. So then they take it, they fix Ultra Magnus, then they go on some other adventures. We see Hot Rod. He seems all right.
I liked Hot Rod.
Yeah, Hot Rod's cool. I have a bunch of Hot Rod toys. I've watched that movie too many times.
Hot Rod would be my version of your Optimus Prime. I have at least three of them, and one of them I spent $100 on.
Oof.
Oh, because that's the IDW version.
Yeah, he's that fancy one.
Yeah, this is probably the last time I spend that much on that small of a figure. Anyway.
But yeah, so then Hot Rod and everybody else is going on these big journeys, and eventually we get back to Cybertron. We've got all of our new heroes together. Hot Rod gets the Matrix. He becomes the new leader of the Autobots. He turns into Rodimus Prime.
It's all big. As much as I like him,
he gets all big.
He does.
And then
he magically gets like a cab that goes behind him.
Yeah, yeah. He gets huge. He gets big. He gets in. He becomes a Winnebago, I guess.
Pretty much, yes. A star Winnebago.
Yes, he becomes a space Winnebago. And he throws Galvatron out into space.
So the second time this movie that's happened to him.
Yes, he's having a bad time. Then they defeat Unicron. The end. And then we have our new Autobot leader, and then the show.
None of the children are happy about this.
Yes, no one's
happy. Or parents. And then we get season three, and it does not take a lot of time before they bring out. Well, they had an episode where they say they're bringing Optimus Prime back, but they actually don't. But then they had another episode where they actually did.
Yeah, I think it's funny how whenever he comes back, Rodimus is just like, please be the leader again.
Yeah, yeah. He never really had a lot of confidence throughout his time as leader.
In his defense, following up Optimus, I imagine, would be a big deal.
Yes, that's agreed.
Impossible.
So, yeah, so that's the movie, which was a huge deal. And then how many seasons were there? Three and four or just three?
It is just three. There is the beginning. There's like it's what's supposed to be like the beginning of season four, but it's the last thing they ever produced.
That turned into the Japanese show, and that gets complicated.
Yeah,
and then we just had series after series. We had Armada. We had Robots in Disguise. There's just been a lot of cartoons since then.
Yeah, from there, like they did G2, which was just replaying the G1 show again.
Which I didn't know. That was weird.
Well, they just added weird transitions to it.
Yeah.
That was kind of the strange part of it. Then of course, we jump into Beast Wars. That was kind of the first big relaunch after Generation 2.
And it's supposed to be good. I missed out on that, but I heard it's very good.
I like that show quite a bit. That's kind of what where I didn't buy a lot of those Beast Wars toys. I watched every episode of that show.
Yeah, I'm not a toy fan of that, but the only reason I'm watching Transformers cartoon again is to catch up on Beast Wars. I know I don't need to, but I am.
Either way, I mean, Beast Wars helps because, like, by the time you get to the point where it actually matters if you've heard of any of the other stuff, it's like you're deep in that thing and you already know. And it's nothing like, oh, you didn't watch the SOS Dinobot episode? But like, there's some really cool moments, like when they finally pull the curtain back and connect.
Tell me, I don't know yet.
Yeah, okay, I won't say any, but yeah, just when they finally do that, I was like, oh shit!
Yeah, that's what.
Oh, it's very exciting. Oh, dang it!
I need a beeper over here, like just
I'm
to the like
worst. I'll try to go through my audio and
your job. Yeah, it's gonna be your job to edit it because I'm not responsible for.
I can handle that.
I'm sure you can. Should we take a break and make sure that it's been recording all this time?
That's probably a good idea.
So I guess I'm not sure how much more there is to say. Do you want to talk about the show anymore, or should we just move on to like the comics a little bit?
I think we're good to probably move on to the comics.
Yeah, because we could talk. I mean, if Steven invites us back, which is highly unlikely, we could like do a part two where we talk more in depth about that. All right, break time. Everyone go to the snack. Yes. At the drive-in, have a pickle.
Bye-bye, Daddy.
Bye-bye, Daddy.
Good job. Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.